2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
Good morning. It's a pleasure for me to be here again. I got a surprise this morning. Walked into church after Sunday school, and my wife said, "Look at that, Jake Rempels are here." And Jake and Eva Rempel, they go back a long ways for us. He is my spiritual father. In 1965, in May, he led me to the Lord, and has been a tremendous example to me over the years. And I have learned much from him, both in physical work as well as the ministry. And I admire him greatly, respect him, him and his wife deeply, because of the example that they have set for us. As was mentioned, Ethnos Canada used to be New Tribes Mission. After 75 years, the powers that be, they felt that it was time to change names. And I can kind of sympathize with people who, when the couples get married and the lady changes her name to her husband's name, and if she ever kind of misses a step and says her maiden name, I can kind of identify with that now, because every now and then I'll refer to New Tribes Mission, because we've been with New Tribes and then Ethnos now for over 40 years, and we have seen a lot happen in those 40 years in terms of the mission. But one of the things that I appreciate is the fact that we still are focused on the same thing that the mission was raised up for, and that was to reach unreached and least reached people groups around the world. And every 45 days in the past 10 years, somebody went back on the records, and in the past 10 years, the average every 45 days, another group hears the gospel of Jesus Christ for the very first time. So that's a tremendous achievement, and that's through the ministry of Ethnos Canada. And there are other mission organizations that are also doing the same thing that we're doing. And so there are more than that that are hearing the gospel for the very first time every year. There are about 9 or 10 translations of the New Testament and portions of the Old Testament that are being finished every year. And I don't know if you can imagine what it would be like. I looked in my study on one occasion how many different translations I have on my bookshelves. And I have 10 or 12, and there are many, many more available to us. And in the English language. But there are still somewhere around 2,500 to 3,000 language groups that have access to none of the printed Word of God in their own language. And of course, many of those languages have never been reduced to writing. And so missionaries are going out, they're learning the language, breaking the language down, figuring out what the rules are. You can't write the rules for a language. They're already in place. So you have to figure out, and that's what a linguist does, figure out how the language works. And then reduce it to writing and translate the Word of God into their own language. And there's no language that speaks, the Word of God speaks the clearest in the language of the mother tongue. And so their translation work is a very important aspect of world evangelism. I want to mention too, on the 3rd of March, Gracia Burnham. Gracia is a lady who, together with her husband, served in the Philippines. Martin Burnham was a aircraft pilot and mechanic, and he was one of our pilots in the country, in the Philippines. He grew up in that country. His parents were church planters among the Iloilo tribal people. And so Martin grew up there, and the airstrip that the airplane would land on was 450 feet long and about 100 foot rise from one end to the other. So you came in at the low end, you came in a canyon, and you would kick your throttle up to a certain point, and then you would shut it down because you'd overshoot the airstrip and so on. And Martin, that's what he grew up with, and he became a pilot and was a very efficient pilot. And he and his wife were celebrating their 18th anniversary at a resort, and there was a group that came and kidnapped them. And for almost 13 months, that's a year and almost a month, they were held in captivity. And Gracia has a wonderful story to tell of God's sustaining grace during that time. And that will be at the Osler Valley Christian Academy. And if any of you would like to hear her story, please come. It's at 7 o'clock. And Linda and I have had the privilege of traveling with Gracia when she comes to Western Canada. And so we've heard her over a dozen times. And the one thing that always impresses me about her is that she does not come out looking like a hero, but God does. And so I would like to encourage you to come and hear her. And we have not heard many repeat stories from her, even though we've heard her more than a dozen times. You cannot tell a year's worth of experiences in 1 hour. It just can't be done. And so she shares and has a very powerful story of God's faithfulness to tell. All right, I would like you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, a man who blazed trails, a man who on a very regular basis went to places where the gospel had never gone before. And as far as Paul's heartbeat was concerned, that was something that was instilled in my own heart very early in my Christian life. And I remember when God first spoke to me about getting involved in ministry, I of course thought it would be pastoral ministry, and I went to Mr. Rempel, who was my pastor, had become my pastor, I think about a week before, because I got saved about a week before. But I sensed very strongly that God was speaking to me to get involved in ministry. And I went to him, I said, "Mr. Rempel, I think God wants me to be a preacher." And his response was, well, in that case, you will need to go to Bible school. Do you remember that? He introduced me to Nipawin Bible Institute, and I attended there. I spent 4 years, managed to cram a three-year course into 4 years, and graduated and came out not only with a Bible school diploma, but also with a wife, and who has stood with me all these years in ministry and has been the mom and the dad for our children whenever I was on the road, which is almost 40 years now. And I thank God for the privilege of having been taught both by example as well as by word, the word of God. And I thank God for the privilege of being able to challenge God's people. And even though I wanted to be the preacher who would take the gospel to some group who would hear the gospel for the very first time, that they would hear it from me, but they didn't, because God had other plans. After some years of pastoral ministry, we sense God's leading us into missions, and as a result of that, we've been involved with New Tribes now, Ethnos Canada, for over 40 years, and I thank God for the privilege of that. So let's look at the Apostle Paul, a very important, familiar portion of Scripture, and I just simply want to share with you what God is doing. You see, God is at work. And the only thing that hinders from the gospel going forth, it's not the laws of man, it's not the regulations that man puts on man, restrictions that God puts on the restrictions that man puts on the Word of God. I think the only thing that will keep the Word of God from being preached is the disobedience of God's people. And most people, sort of in the back of our minds, we have the idea, well, if we're going to, you know, I don't have the ability to be a preacher. And that's true, that many of us don't have that ability. But the most powerful sermon that can be preached often is preached by an individual who's not good with words. And I'm a testimony of that. The man that was a businessman in my community where I got saved, he wasn't a very good preacher, but he had the ability. He loved the Lord. He loved people. And I used to tag along when Dad would go and fuel up at his service station. And somewhere in the course of that transaction, he would say, well, Neil, the Bible says, and he would quote the Word of God. I love going along with my dad as a teenager because there was something about that man's life that just kind of grabbed me by the shirt front and pulled me up real close. The power of the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul here says to Timothy, he says, but you must continue in the things that which you have heard, knowing from whom you have learned them. The credibility of the Word of God is most powerful and dynamic when it's lived out in the lives of believers. I used to, when I had the opportunity to travel to various countries in which we work, and I would sit there and I would listen as the missionary would be teaching the Word of God, and of course all it was just a bunch of garbled sounds. But I knew that the missionary had learned the language and he was teaching the Word of God. But you know, during that period of time that it took them from when they arrived and started building their houses until they were had reached a level of language proficiency where they could actually communicate abstract spiritual concepts. During that time period, these people had begun to get to know the missionaries. and they saw both the beautiful and the ugly aspect of human nature demonstrated often in the lives of the missionaries as well. I remember one missionary saying that my partner and I came close to blows on one occasion. And he said, in a tribal setting, there are no secrets. But those tribal people all also saw when one day God put a stop to that by simply bringing conviction upon the hearts of these two missionary couples. And the missionary said, one of those missionaries said, we spent 3 days resolving our differences. Why? Because one of the couples were conservative Mennonite people from Steinbeck, Manitoba, and the other couple, he had grown up on the beaches in California. He describes himself as a beach bum from California who was saved by the grace of God. And can you imagine the different philosophical and cultural differences between those two families? And they said it was very interesting to us because we spent time as couples together for 3 days, where we spent most of the daylight hours in each other's home trying to resolve the differences that we had. And the tribal people, they would come to the steps of their houses where they were sitting. One moment they'd see them crying. They'd come back later, they'd see them laughing. But they saw the work of God in the lives of the missionaries. And the result was, when they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, those tribal people understood. They believed the gospel. It transformed their lives. But you know, that is just the beginning. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said this. He said, I'm confident of this very thing. The word of God, as it was preached, and it began to touch the lives of these tribal people. And these tribal people, they had some very serious cultural problems, social problems, spiritual problems. You see, one of the things was, for every grown man, or for every grown woman, there were 10 men, grown men. How in the world can you, in a tribal setting, in a tribal culture, how can it be that you have 10 grown men for every grown woman? Can you imagine the kind of social problems that creates? Wife stealing was a common practice. Because you see, a young couple would have a child and that man's best friend would come and say, I want to buy your daughter to be my wife. And from infancy, that little girl belonged to a man that was 20, 30, maybe 40 years older than the girl. But when that girl becomes about 8 years of age, that old man takes her to his house and she becomes his wife. And you might say, that's terrible. It is. But that's just an outworking of our sin nature. And if it were not by the grace of God, who knows, we could be in that kind of a society. I look at society today and folks, I think we're heading in that direction. We've got everything in place to actually have that kind of thing happen. And so when the missionaries began to teach the word of God and the tribal people began to respond, there were many cases within that tribal culture where they literally, yeah, she belongs to so-and-so, but she's got this man's children. And now they've become believers. What do you do with that? And I asked the missionary, I said, what in the world did you do? How do you handle that? And this liberal-minded California beach bum converted said to me, we did nothing. We did absolutely nothing. I said, how come? And his response was, we didn't come here to straighten out a society. We came here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Linda and I had the privilege in 1990 to fly into that village. And I asked Brad, I said, Brad, what's happening these days in this work? We'd had the privilege of visiting 9 different tribal works in Papua New Guinea, and we had seen various stages where the missionaries were learning language they couldn't communicate effectively yet, all the way to where the missionaries had phased out. They were done. The church was functioning on its own. I said, Brad, what is God doing here these days? He said, he's doing some wonderful things. And my response was, what's he doing? He said, we'll talk about it later on. He said, right now there's a teaching session going to start. Let's get over there so that we can sit in on the teaching. And the teaching was not done by the missionary. The teaching was done by a group of young men and some not so young. At least they didn't look young. And they were teaching the word of God that the missionaries had taught these group of men, and each one took turns teaching the word of God. After the service, we sat in on a mathematical class because the missionaries are required by many of the governments where we work to also educate them. And so they were teaching math and then the language and pidgin English as well. And so as they were teaching, all of a sudden these tribal people, the Spirit of God began to move among these tribal people. And they began to solve their social problems. And we had the opportunity to witness how they did it. The missionary was interpreting for us. And so there was a group over here on this porch, another group on this porch. And Brad said, let's go outside. There's something happening out there. And so the sidewalk between the two missionaries' houses, there was a man from this group. They all moved, actually the whole group moved onto the sidewalk, which was this wide. And this group came forward too. And then there was a young fellow over here, off to the side. And this young man on this side spoke to that young man. And the missionary interpreted for me, this young man spoke to that old man. This young man said, it isn't right that I stole your wife. This guy related to that guy, and the old man, he nodded his head. Yeah, I agree. It's not right. After a while, after various things, that it's not right that we don't talk to each other when we're on the trail. It's not right that we don't do this. It's not right that I don't eat sago bread in your house and so on. Then he turned around and the people behind him, they gave him all kinds of things, paraphernalia and so on, and gave it to this guy. This guy goes over here and gives it to the old man. And you could just sense the sigh of relief going through the crowd. And it dawned on me, and I asked Brad, is he buying that guy's wife that he stole, is he paying for her? And the missionary said, yes. I said, so is the problem resolved now? Are they going to get together? Are they going to eat sago bread in each other's houses and so on? He said, no. He said, the problem is solved when this young man goes to his house and eats sago bread and he lives. Are you getting the picture? He was buying his wife. You see, the problem was this young couple, the woman that he stole, that young man had several children by her. The old man had no children by that young woman. How do you resolve a social issue like that? We as Christians, we got it nailed down pat, right? We know exactly how it should be done. But would we choose that method? I said to Brad, how much teaching did you do on this to bring this about? He said, we've never talked about it. Because our job is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're doing. He said, this is the third one in the past month where this has happened. He said, one day, one of the men came and said, this is what I'm going to do. His question had been, why? And he said, the Spirit of God is speaking to me. For me, this portion takes on a different dynamic. When I read it, when I hear that kind of story. So let's read this with that in mind. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Bible doesn't tell us anywhere, this is what you do when you have this kind of a social problem. But what is interesting to me is when the Lord Jesus was ready to go into heaven, he explained to his disciples, it's necessary for me that I go to heaven. Why? So I can send you that another comforter. So that I can send you the Holy Spirit. And when he shall come, he will not speak about himself. He will, whatever he hears, that will he speak. And show you things to come. Is that ideal? No. But how are you going to clean up a mess? And I said to the missionary later on that day, I said to him, I said, Brad, how long will it take till socially things are right? And he said, probably 3 generations. Have you ever stopped to thank God for the Word of God and the impact it's had on us? The power of the Word of God is phenomenal. But Paul says, in order for the power of that Word to take effect and change lives is through the preaching of the Word of God. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. In other words, it takes years. And I still remember the day when I was saved and how God began a good work in me back then. Even though I didn't understand that. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning to understand different aspects of the Word of God. And truths that I've known for a long time, all of a sudden, now I understand. Oh, now I see. Now, I want to challenge you as a church, in this community right around about you here. This used to be a Catholic church. Today, it's an evangelical Bible teaching church. Does the community around you feel that? I'm not talking about you needing to go and bash the Catholic Church. Not at all. But we have a personal relationship to Jesus Christ that many of them might not have. And I'm wondering, are they unsafe feeling that? Another thing I want to challenge you with. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, I want you to lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And that was after he had fed the 5,000. Then he says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel. Right? No. He said, in light of that, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. It's not our work. Ethnos is not our work. It's God's work. And if we lose that focus, we lose our effectiveness. We need to be focused on his work, because then he can do great and wonderful things. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your provision for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins can be forgiven, to be remembered no more. And Father, I pray that you would raise up laborers for the whitened harvest field, because we know the need is desperate. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.